explanation basically means
more than one possible explanation. The point is, if we're not dealing with absolutes, either with heter or with kiyum katos, or that it doesn't apply across the board to all types of isurim, what that definitely demonstrates is that the factor of enu miskaven is playing a role. For people for whom sometimes it doesn't play a role, sometimes it does play a role. Which means that a maisa, b'li kavana, is an incomplete maisa avera. It's an maisa avera that qualifies in some respects and doesn't qualify in other respects, as opposed to the more absolutist perspective, which is that you can't even conceive of a maisa avera b'li kavana, or that kavana plays no role and makes no difference whatsoever. If you take either of those extremes, you're never going to have distinctions having to do with karban, having to do with laban and fiyuve misa, and so on. So for our purposes, it doesn't matter so much where the distinction is made. Okay. The idea that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ina miskaven might be kin miskaven, which itself could have two meanings. Also, right, one way to say that is that there's no fall off whatsoever. There's no flaw in lacking kavana. Ina miskaven, kin miskaven. If you want to take it even a step further and say that just because there doesn't appear to be kavana, al pidin, nonetheless, ina miskaven is kin miskaven. If you know something might take place, then al-fidin, that's kavana enough. The awareness that it might take place is the equivalent of kavana. That's a step beyond saying that it doesn't make a difference. That we're saying maybe it does make a difference, but it's there. That formulation, as I noted, within Rabbi Yehuda, is an important issue. It's an important question. It appears that it's discussed, I say, by some Rishonim. Just two examples of that quickly. One is the language of Tosis in Yuma, the long Tosis. I hope I have it here. The long Tosis in Yuma, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, Tosis has such a line for Rabbi Yehuda, except that Rabbi Yehuda is then qualified in Hilchos Shabbos with Tosis Lishitasa. But if you look here at the big long Tosis, and when you get to the wide lines, Tosa says as follows: Okay, Yerulari, Abaya Amar Afidu Temesh Yigilu Tzir of Davar Shemim Miskavim Mutter. Pirush Min Atar. Now, if I go to the Rabbanan, also Ain Shlus to make the Shapara. Me, Amar Abaya Davar Shemim Miskavim Lo Mitzar Ol Midrabanan Batayne Bechule. Mid Yitzchak Kosh Mamina Davar Sheinu Miskavim Also Midaraisa. Mishani Hani Min Bechol Torah Kula Aser. No, sorry, say better. Mishani Hani Mili Bechol Torah Kula. Asur she'en miskaven kin miskaven. Avohaka pirush b'shabes v'tzivei melechus makshedes v'inon sheich hekashev la'asos avohaka shehu osa. Hilkach tzirut tahaka hava kilo miskaven derabanan v'en shvut v'mikdash. The Tosfos uses the language that she'en miskaven is kin miskaven. Okay, which again is a line that flows out of the sugya in in Psachim on Daf Chaf Hei Lebeis Chaf Vav Amin Aleph, but when Rishonim pick up on such a line, this is just a Havamin of the Gemara. There, the Gemara is Miskavik. You know, when we say that Ein Miskavik is Kin Miskavik, does that only mean Lechomra, but not also Lekula? What will happen if you have Kavana in a case where it's Iyasha? That's the sugya in Psachim. But when Rishonim pick up on such lines, that's a very important thing. That's an important phenomenon. Okay. That's number one. The other one I mentioned the other day is the Rajba. I was referring to the Rajba in Ksuvos. Again, you may not mean it, but it's hard to know. The Rajba here, page 54, column 2, which I gave a look at. Inami is Shlomar, the shiny haka, the eno miskavein, v'kulahai lo machmarina. Yafal gav de Rabbi Yehuda, she'eno miskavein, kim miskavein, lo chamur she'eno miskavein, kim miskavein. So here you have both. I mean, here you have the initial formulation, which this is essentially the question. He's saying, if Rabbi Yehuda really holds eno miskavein is kim miskavein, then there should be never any reason to distinguish between eno miskavein and miskavein. And even if you're talking about being mitzarev to some other sniff, some other factor, so what? It's still not going to help you. Meaning, the combination of Ein Miskaven and something else, let's say, for Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going to help you much. Because Ein Miskaven is Kim Miskaven, so it's like having a Davar HaMiskaven and something else. Whatever that something else's impact is, it is, it'll never extend beyond. So that's what the Rajba initially was projecting when he said that Afal Gav Dil Rabbi Yehuda Ein Miskaven Kim Miskaven. But then he goes back 180 degrees and he says Lo Chamor She'Ein Miskaven Kim Miskaven. There's another way of saying, even though it seems like this is what he holds, that's not really what he holds. What he really, really, really holds is that Ein Miskaven is not a reason to make you potter, but it doesn't mean that it's really Kim Miskaven. And therefore, when you combine Ein Miskaven with something else, that's going to be a good nafkamina for Rabbi Yehuda. Then, since you're dealing with a flawed Maisa Veira to begin with, again, even if you don't go so far as to say there's no Chatos, let's say there is a Chatos, let's say it applies not only in Mises Bezdin, but in Lav, it applies all across the board. But, you know, if it applies with a Sai, or with an Afapichein, then it's still vulnerable when it comes to adding other factors. So if you stick together a Mekalkel and an Eino Miskaven, it could be that you don't just have Paltra Veloster anymore. You may be able to go, you know, right to Mutter. Because Eino Miskaven is not literally Kindiskaven. Actually, Shedi Miskaven, there'll be Eino Midrabana, that's on the other deos already. But this is the first line. So you have, I say, in the Shaka Vitaria, you have the two opposite perspectives. So both Tosas and Yuma and the Rajba, there are other Lishonis and the Rishonim too, are important for highlighting this problem. Okay. Now, the we mentioned yesterday that the Ramban and the Ritva in Yuma, but earlier the Ramban, doesn't go along with this seeming consensus that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Davar She'Ein Miskaven is only Drabanan in Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramban seems to hold that even in Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Davar She'Ein Miskaven is Chai. Okay. So, if that's the case, what does the Ramban do with the Gemara on Ayin Hay Amud Aleph? That's a little bit of a problem because the Gemara Ayin Hay Amud Aleph, that's where the Gemara said Misaseku Eitzol Netilas Neshama, right? So Misaseku Eitzol Netilas Neshama means Davar She'Ein Miskaven, which is the interpretation of most Rishonim. So then, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who appears in that Gemara as well, why aren't you chayev mishum Netilas Neshama? And that's an important question. So the Ramban responds to that question. That's the fact that he has to respond to this question is one of the reasons that we know that he doesn't go with the Balitosis. So just in terms of we spent a year and a half trying to figure out the relationship between Davar She'Ein Miskaven and Misaseik, we proved that it is a complex relationship, that there's a range of views on that matter. And we pointed out that the Gemara Ayin Hay Amud Aleph is a crucial Gemara in that issue, because the Gemara calls something Misaseik, which most Rishonim interpret to mean Ein Miskaven. But I think the answer of the Ramban to that question is precisely to reject that reading of the Gemara. So Rabban here says, Tema, right? Hayel al Shano, Sapatsechi lazim pata Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. V'hada minan shayni hacha dekam edisa neshama tzvei nicha keichid leitzel tzivei. Pirush Rashi shu toreach l'shamor shalo yamos. So it's interesting. Ramban adds, Pirush l'perusho hu potso b'derech she'efshar shalo yamos. The amaze lo nasa machshavto. Behind the karmina le misasek. So already the Ramban seems to be softening us up for this. He doesn't yet say it fully. So far he seems to be saying that he might still think of it's never shaded miskaven, but he wants you to know that it's called misasek for a reason. He emphasizes what Rashi says at the end of the sugya, already towards the earlier part, namely, that it's not just that he's not interested in the Netilas Neshama. He actually tries to squeeze the Dama Chilazon in such a way that it'll preserve the life of the Chilazon. Okay, maybe not for purely altruistic reasons, right? but you know, for you know, maybe for commercial reasons. But this is what he tries to do. Then he expresses this more completely as he goes on. They're trying to get out of it by saying it's But then in the end he says, "V'nirali d'Rabbi Yehuda nami misasek pater." So I think what the Ramban is saying pretty succinctly is that the Gemara should be understood literally as misasek, and that misasek should be understood as different than davar shein miskaven. But what we said according to Bali Tosis, which is true, the simple reading of the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Hey and Aleph, and so the Gemara uses the expression misasek, and it really means davar shein miskaven. But I think the Ramban is going out of his way to say that it's not so, which he taso. Because the Ramban is bothered by this, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it really was davar shein miskaven, it should be chayav. Vishlam of Bali Tosis, who think that Rabbi Yehuda always thinks that, even Rabbi Yehuda thinks that Hilchos Shabbos is only drabanan, so there's no question. But according to the Ramban, this is really a serious problem. So I think what the Ramban ends up saying is that Misasek who waits until Tivus Hashama doesn't mean that he's not interested. It means that he's trying his best to avoid it, and in the end, that's why he emphasizes twice, Lo Ala Machshavto. Lo Ala Machshavto is already Misasek. It means he's trying to do potseya, he ends up doing the Tilos Neshama. That is Misasek. That's not Darshan Miskabe. It's not that he anticipates, he's trying to do A, and he anticipates that there might also be the consequence of B. According to the Ramban, the Ramban is setting it up. Really, he's trying to do A and not B, and he fails, and he ends up doing B and not A. He doesn't end up being potseya, like he thought. So that's the Ramban l'shitaso, but what emerges from that is a way to read the Gemara Nayin Ha'amid Aleph, that it really is misasek, which has consequences not only for the reading of the Ramban of the Sugya, but for the larger connection to misasek. According to Moshe Rishonim, on the other hand, as we discussed, well, not Moshe Rishonim, but at least Bali Tosis and some of the Chachmei Svara, indeed, Rabbi Yehuda is Bode v'Shabbos. So we already raised the question yesterday. I want to elaborate on that a little bit now. What is the significance of that? But if we say that Rabbi Yehuda is Moda B'Shabbos, does that belong with the other limitations on Rabbi Yehuda? As we said, does Rabbi Yehuda hold Eina Miskaven is Kim Miskaven? Does he hold Eina Miskaven doesn't bother us? Does he acknowledge that Eina Miskaven is Eina Miskaven? But Afo Pichein, there's a basis for at minimum, Issa Daraisa, maybe even more. That's what we're discussing. Chatos, Lavin, other combinations with other factors, and so on and so forth. So what significance is there to the fact that according to Bali Tosis and a whole group of other Rishonim, Moder Rabbi Yehuda B'Shabbos? So on one level, one could have said that if Rabbi Yehuda is Moder B'Shabbos, let's say that goes with this position that Eino Miskaven is not Kim Miskaven. Normally it's enough, but in some cases, since we agree that there is a status of Eina Miskaven here, and Eina Miskaven is meaningful, in some cases it'll be meaningful enough. One of those examples will be Shabbos. If we were to formulate it that way, what we would be saying would be that not only is Rav Yehuda Moda B'Shabbos, but his being Moda B'Shabbos is consequential for his Kol HaTorah Kula too, in a way, in the sense of being revealing, right, reflecting. In other words, if we were to say it in the Rashba's terms of a moment ago, we would say it really isn't true that Eino Miskaven is Kim Miskaven. After all, Malachas Machshavas Asotot. That's one extreme. Possibly, it's hard to say, but maybe that's what Tosis and Yuma really has in mind. Again, they're contrasting saying for Rabbi Yehuda, Eino Miskaven is Kimiskaven, with the fact that in Hilchos Shabbos it's not so. But I don't know if they go that far. In other words, Tosis just says, Hanavir b'chol Torah kula osa shein miskaven kimiskaven. אבל הוכה, בסיב ולקס מחשבס, בין אנשי חושב, לעשה סמלך השוב.
So what's that contrast?
Hard to say. It's really, linguistically, it's hard to say. are we really saying Hilchos Shabbos proves that it isn't really fully true?
Right.
Or are we saying that in Kol HaTorah Kula it's 100% true? And in Hilchos Shabbos it's an exception? Or are we saying even a step further than that?
Right.
In other words, in one extreme is to say that Hilchos Shabbos is made al Kol HaTorah Kula, not enough, but somewhat. And it could be that there are echoes of Hilchos Shabbos, even in Kol HaTorah Kula, with the right combination of other factors. That's one extreme. The other extreme is the same we said yesterday, which is that the fact of Malach Samachshavis also Torah, even if it does play a role in Enemus Kavim for Rabbi Yehuda, is totally, totally isolated. Even in Hilchos Shabbos, it's not of all that great significance. That's the other extreme. By that I mean, it's not really even an exception completely to Hilchos Shabbos. In which case, we would expect, what would we expect? Yoni? If it's not really even an exception, Hilchos Shabbos, what might we expect? Okay, number one, there wouldn't be any other exceptions, but even, go take it a step further. Maybe, okay, that makes sense. That's part of what you said, that there would be no exceptions. But I'm saying even taking a step further. Yuna?
Even on Shabbos, we would understand there are times when it's more chamar, so they're like, or something.
Exactly. That the echo of Rabbi Yehuda's Dover Shein and Miskaven being Asur is something which may even continue to prevail on Shabbos itself. That's the exact opposite of what I just said. What I just said a second ago was the fact that Rabbi Yehuda will agree in Shabbos may even echo in Kol HaTorah Kula. Because it couldn't be that way in Shabbos if you took a hardcore in a Miskaven Kimiskaven approach. And now what I'm saying is, no, this is such an isolated issue in such a Hilchos Shabbos perspective that it doesn't even tell us that, to formulate it this way, it's not Moda Rabbi Yehuda L'Rab Shimon B'Hilchos Shabbos. It's just that Moda Rabbi Yehuda that Melechts Machsheves Asra Torah that in Hilchos Shabbos it makes a difference. It doesn't mean that he's completely Moda the Rab Shimon. In other words, within Hilchos Shabbos itself, the fact that Kol HaTorah Kula is Chayiv or Asur may be reflected. We're not equating Rab Shimon and Rab Yehuda. And that would especially be true if we were to say that the nature of Malach Machshavas Asur Torah is fundamentally different from the reason that Rab Shimon understands Dover Shein Miskaven being Mutter. In other words, it's not just that we're saying in Hilchos Shabbos, Moda Rab Shimon, Moda Rab Yehuda Rab Shimon, the same reason Rab Shimon is not in Kol HaTorah Kula, that factor is a powerful factor in Hilchos Shabbos. You can say such a thing. But what we're saying now is maybe it's much more limited than that. It's much more limited. In which case, even within Hilchos Shabbos, there still may be differences between Rab Shimon and Rab Yehuda. That, of course, is highlighted best, Eitan Bar? That idea is best highlighted by Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim, of course, needs it in order to navigate the evidence. What do I mean by navigating the evidence, Eitan? Okay, that too. We'll get to that in a minute. Right. But, okay, and that's going to be part of the discussion mainly, but that isn't the main reason that he needs this point. Hilchos Shkagos is a much bigger problem, right? How so?
Because he said that you are Pater or the case increases.
Okay, but the reason that you're Pater is because Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutter. Because it can't be that you're possible because of Malach Shein Tzuyich HaLagufa, because the Rambam Paskin Malach Shein Tzuyich HaLagufa is Chayiv. So the Rambam Paskin, like Rav Shimon, in Hilchos Shkagos, Hilchos Shavuos is a Shabbos case. It's Perek Zayin of Shavuos, which everybody here knows very, not everybody, maybe four people know. But aside from those four people, everybody here knows that Perek Zayin of Shavuos is a very important chapter of Hilchos Shabbos in the Rambam, right? Okay. I would have liked to see more nods. right. So the point is that according to the Rambam, that's the Hilchos Shabbos case. The case increases in the case of Hilchos Shavuos. The question is, how can anything depend on a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if according to Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Yehuda's model, Rabbi Shimon, Hilchos Shabbos, the Dovr Sheni Miskaven, is mutter. If that's true, then there can't be a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about what is the case there exactly, Eitan?
When you try to do the part one, then you write the top one.
Yeah. So Rambam holds Yolichai Chatas Achas for the Kibbutz, not for the Havara. Right. But obviously the Gemara has to be read. That is the Machlokas. The Gemara says on Chaf with Aleph increases. That one of the days on the Gemara, that's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, depends on Rabbi Shimon Miskaven is Chayiv or Potter. So it's a Shabbos case that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Zayin, which is Shabbos. And you can't interpret it the way the Bali Tosis interpret it. We'll get back to the Bali Tosis, the issue we were discussing at the end of yesterday. That's a Balshem Tzur from the Gufa case. But you can't say that for the Rambam, it's just not accessible. That argument is not accessible for the Rambam. Correct? So then the question is, but according to Rav Chaim, Rambam is in that group of Rishonim, that Dovr Sheni Miskaven on Shabbos is mutter. So if it's mutter, so how do you ever get Rav Yehuda saying that you're Chayim? Not only that, but you're Chayim Chatos. That's the problem. So what Rav Chaim basically realized was that even if you hold that Rav Yehuda agrees that Dovr Sheni Miskaven is mutter on Shabbos, what you cannot do is say that there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos. So that just eliminates the Gemara. There has to be a way, this is the reconstructed thinking of Rabbi Chaim, there has to be a way to have your cake and eat it too. To conclude that Shabbos is different and that Rabbi Yehuda is moda, and yet, not to completely eliminate Rabbi Yehuda from Shabbos. Because there has to be a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos. Now, if that's true, again, you might think that this is only a problem for the Rambam. Because anybody else can read the Gemara that's Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Rambam, on some level, you have to say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon apply in Shabbos. Now, if you held that the Rambam just didn't hold like the Bali Tosfos, then it would be no problem and you wouldn't have to come to any of this. To say that the Rambam held like the Rambam and the Ritzvah so many years later. As I mentioned before, the Girsa in Yuma, which is really the strongest piece of evidence, is a Girsa of the Bali Tosfos. As for the other evidence here and there, that other evidence is workable. Right? If you say things like we just said for the Rajba. Like Rajba is trying to explain, how can it be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kalkal, let's say, ends up being, with Suging Subas, and the Kalkal ends up being Mutter. And how can it be Mutter? The Kalkal is Pater Avalasar. Everybody agrees the Kalkal is Pater Avalasar. So if Dov Shein and the Skaven is Chayiv, and the Kalkal is Pater Avalasar, how do you get a Heter, to do something on Shabbos? Right? So one of the most popular answers in Rishon, the Bali Tosis answer is, yeah, because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that on Shabbos, Dovr Sheni Miskaven is Pater Avalasar, and then you'd add it to Mekalkal, so you have Trei Rabbanan, and then it's Mutter. Right. But there are other ways to negotiate that, to navigate that evidence. Namely, to say what we just said in the name of the Rajba. Even if you hold Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dovr Sheni Miskaven is Chayiv, not only called Torah Kula, but in Shabbos, as long as you don't say, Eder Miskaven is Kindiskaven, you still might be able to knock this down. you don't need to go slave story. If it's in the sky, man, it's Makalka, it's Sutra. And so on. These are methods to neutralize the evidence. Almost all the evidence can be neutralized that indicates that Rabbi Yehuda agrees in Elkshah. I won't we do the logical problem? David, how could it be that that Dov Shein and Miskavin will be Chayiv on Shabbos? It's Malachas Mach. It's a problem, Malachas Mach Shabbos. Does Rabbi Yehuda deny the concept of Malachas Mach Shabbos? We certainly know that when it comes to Misasek, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Misasek is Patur. And Mekalkel is Patur. Right, that's a sugya about Kuf Vav. That even though that's where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that's the one place where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda switch gears. Right? Rabbi Shimon says that Mekalkel, the Chovel of the Mavir, is Chayiv. And Rabbi Yehuda says that Mekalkel, the Chovel of the Mavir, is Potter. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda does agree with some concept of Malachas Mach Shabbos. So what about the logical problem that you have to contend with? What's the answer, Dovi? What we said yesterday already. What the Ritva said in Yuma. Very good. Well said. Okay. Namely, is this because you believe in... doesn't mean that you believe in this particular application of Malachas Mach Shabbos. It could be the Ur Malachas Mach Shabbos is limited to Lo Olam Akshavto. Meaning, Miskavim La Mizrok Shtayim, Mizarek Arba. I couldn't have said it better myself. Okay. So the point is, the logical evidence, the problem of the Sugin Ksuvas,
how do you read the Gemara Yuma? Okay, no, that's not going to bother anybody. Right?
Tziruf is drabanan, Shavuos b'mikdash. There are so many things you can say. It isn't a psik reisha. It is a psik reisha. I mean, there are so many things you can say in the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Shabbos, Abnechem Shepinu, also, there are so many things you can say. Half the cases made of Miskavit anyway seem to be drabanan, at least kalachar yad. So if they're kalachar yad, they're already a peg down, and so on. So the truth is, that the terrible problem, what do you do with the Gemara increases, according to the Rambam, if you hold that, you know, the Rambam doesn't necessarily believe that Dov Shein and Miskavin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Potter on Shabbos, is no problem at all. Okay. I think it's remarkable, frankly, that Rabbi Chaim assumed, as a Dover Pashut, that the Rambam holds like the Bali Tosis on that issue. Okay. But he does. So once he does, so then he has a very sticky dilemma. You don't have the Bali Tosis answer. You have the Bali Tosis problem. Right? How are you going to say that Dov Shein and Miskavein is Potter on Shabbos, and yet it's subject to Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and it could even be a Chafetz? So Chaim came up with an ingenious solution, Kedarko. A controversial one, a problematic one. Namely, what's the solution, Eitan? In a Doma, the Ein Miskavin of Shabbos of Rabbi Yehuda and the Ein Miskavin of Shabbos of Rabbi Shimon. Just because Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Potter doesn't mean that it's the equivalent of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that's classic Rabbi Chaim thinking. Namely, just because two things are Potter doesn't mean that they're identical. Right, Rabbi Chaim's greatness was his ability to reconstruct, sometimes to figure out where he needed to go, and B, to zero in on a certain point and to you know, project the remaining ambiguity. Just because somebody says something is Potter and somebody else says something is Potter doesn't mean that they both agree that it's Potter for the same reason. The fact that Rav Shimon believes Oshin and Skadin is Potter and calls Arakula and Rav Yehuda does not may continue to shape even the overlap where they both agree to her. That's good halachic thinking. Okay. So that's what Rukai came up with. What are the details of it? Eitan?
The difference between Ocean and Skabin and Malachas Mach Shabbos.
Okay, go ahead.
The Ocean and
Skabin
is totally on
Well, they're both Ocean and Skabin, so say then. The Ocean and Skabin of Rav Shimon of Kol HaTaru Kula, and the Ocean and Skabin of Malachas Mach Shabbos of Rav Yehuda, which is limited, of course, to Shabbos. So what's the difference between them? So Chaim points out
notion of scribing in general is probably on Havana and Lexum, whether you want to have any references to your idea that this is taking place.
Yeah. Is that obvious? That these are the two values that you would assign to these things?
No.
Definitely not. Not at all. If anything, Misvara, one might have thought the opposite. But we'll get to that in just a second. But basically, this is Reb Chaim's argument. So how does that help us? So basically, what he's saying is, again, Eidu Miskaven has two completely different meanings, one for Shimon, one for Yehuda. For Shimon, it has the universal meaning of lack of interest. I'm not interested in what's happening here. That's why it's Eidu Miskaven. For Rabbi Yehuda, the lack of interest is not a p'tur. Right? Lack of interest is not a p'tur. From the perspective of lack of interest, you would be chayav. However, there's also lack of awareness that this will take place. The lack of awareness is an issue of Balachas Machshavas Asur Torah. That's what Chaim assumes. Not knowing whether something will happen, that's lack of Balachas Machshavas. Not being interested that it happened, that's Darshan Miskaven. Okay. The truth is that when you look at Darshan Miskaven, you're not sure which of these it is. In a classic case of Darshan Miskaven, which is not the situation, you have both elements, one way, right? Lack of interest and a lack of awareness. This is Reb Chaim's argument. So how is it going to help us? So Chaim says, well, if that's the case, then there's a sure litmus test. What's the sure litmus test? Sekresha, keep going. The lonichala. Okay. So Chaim says, an afkamina will be, what do you have? A psikresha, the lo nichale. So psikresha, the lo nichale, it is going to solve one problem, and it's going to leave the other problem completely unaffected. Which problem does it solve? Sandy?
It doesn't? Well, it takes that away.
You have no kavana because you're saying the miskabe, but it's a psikresha de lo nichale. Does that give you more kavana?
No.
Right. So in terms of ratzon, it doesn't do anything for you. In terms of in terms of your interest in it, this is what I mean by ratzon. In terms of yediya, awareness, makes all the difference in the world, right? Unless you're in denial, the situation of Nikolai is something for which you have, which everybody has, idea. So Chaim basically says like this: if you have a situation of Nikolai, then you can rehabilitate the argument of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, even though it's Hilchos Shabbos. The Hilchos Shabbos is neutralized. The factor of Hilchos Shabbos is completely neutralized by the case of situation of Nikolai. And then what you are left with is the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon of Kol Torah Kula, even in Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, there's now room, this flexibility, to read Gemaras that say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos, if it only can be proven that they're talking about cases of psikoreshah and lonichalei. And that's exactly what the Gemara in Krisus is talking about. Case of Gemara in Krisus is psikoreshah and lonichalei. So the Gemara calls it Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Miskaven. Why? Because, according to the Rambam's reading of the Gemara holds that Dabar Sheinu Miskave, the Psikreshev, Lonichalei is still a Dabar Sheinu Miskave. So it's accurate to say that their debate is about Dabar Sheinu Miskave. It's Hilchos Shabbos? The answer is, it's the case of Hilchos Shabbos where the Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah doesn't play any role. So it might as well be Kol Torah Kula, even though it's Hilchos Shabbos. It's the Kol Torah Kula part of the Machlokas, not the Hilchos Shabbos part. Because, again, according to Reb Chaim's reading of the Rambam, in Kvaros part, we're already saying that he holds a Gebali Tosis. He holds a Gebali Tosis, but the Gebali Tosis are not to be interpreted, or at least the Rambam's interpretation is not, that there's no difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda and Hilchos Shabbos. Or that Mode Rabbi Yehuda, that the routine that the Rabbi Shimon is got in the Kol Torah Kula, is and all of a sudden Hilchos Shabbos, you could have said that. You said it before even more so. But if this is the understanding of Reb Chaim, so what ends up is that Dabar Sheinu Miskaven Sikreshu Velo Nichalei is Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda Kol Torah Kula, and that's the Sugya in Krisus, and that's the Psak of the Rambam Hilchos Shgagos, as far as any non-psikresha cases, that the Rambam says that comes under the rubric of Malachas Machshavas. There are Yudas Moda. Yeah.
Even without psikresha, could you also tie this into the difference between Efshar and Mishkade?
Efshar and Misomatsudim Sakhin?
And even what I'm talking about, if you focus on Efshar, okay. It's more of a question of like awareness, like did you make this decision to do this?
But say meaning Efshar in the same sense of like Ktanim.
What?
Efshar is the equivalent of Ktanim.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like polytosis.
Right, but I'm saying that also it also reflects these two
what is
two different aspects of Benchin and Muscadi. Yeah, whether somebody wants it or somebody's
aware. I mean, there's an implicit Ratzon in a way. In that case, could be.
Well, no, but that's an odd. Muscadi reflects Ratzon, but if I ignore Muscadi and I.
Well, if I do Ktanim.
If I decide that I need to get my sapsal from one corner to another, but I can easily do it.
As easily do it by picking it up as I can by dragging it.
Right.
So this goes back to what we said the other day. So then the fact that I choose this methodology, not the I choose the dragging methodology, not the picking up methodology, right, could be understood as an act of ratzon. In a way. Well, not so much an act of Ratzon, but an act of, which is Mitzurah to me, at least. That's kind of what you're saying. Yeah?
I was saying it the other way. I was saying that if it's Efshar, so then even though that doesn't show Ratzon, the fact that there's another aspect of Darshan and Kadim, which is just awareness, or the fact that part that it is awareness of what's going on.
But you still don't know that it's not psychoracious, you still don't know that it's going to happen. He's still not aware that it's going to happen.
In other words, it's not, there's no figuration. So he's dragging this sasal. There's a good chance that that it will make a harvest.
Okay. So basically, just to sum up what we said so far,
and that is that
there is this question, you know, how to understand of Yehuda. As far as the Hilchos Shabbos part of it is concerned, number one, the Rishonim will think this is not true, the whole thing. Ramban, Ritva, and so on. They can deal with the logical problem of, you know, what do you do with Malachas Machshavas. They can deal with the evidence, as I indicated, both the Girsos part of the evidence and the other parts of the evidence. If the Rambam had held that way, then the whole problem wouldn't have come up. According to the Rishonim who hold that Rav Yehuda is Modeh on Shabbos, so there are several ways to say that. One extreme is to say that Rabbi Yehuda is Moda on Shabbos, and that's even significant for Kol HaTorah Kula, because it's part of the theme, it's part of the it's part of the perspective in Rabbi Yehuda that we don't say Eidu Miskavim is Miskavim. We say Eidu Miskavim is Eidu Miskavim V'Yafal Pichein, but that V'Yafal Pichein leaves us many openings, and maybe Hilchos Shabbos is an echo of the V'Yafal Pichein. That's one extreme. In a moderate position, what we could say is, the Kol HaTorah Kula is Kol HaTorah Kula, and the Hilchos Shabbos has nothing to do with the Kol HaTorah Kula. However, it's still possible that Rabbi Yehuda is Modeh Rabbi Shimon b'Hilchos Shabbos Lagamri, meaning there are no differences between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Hilchos Shabbos when it comes to the issue of Darshei and Miskat. Because Rabbi Yehuda is Modeh fully. In this, whatever Rav Shimon holds is the reason that we call it Torah Kula, the Tmutter, that that perspective on Nisim, on the standards for Chiyuvim, whatever it is, even though Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that standard and call it Torah Kula, he does agree with that same standard in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the middle position. But then there'll never be a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos, which I think is a reasonable view. You're going to have trouble with the Gemara in Krisos. Okay. If you end up thinking that the Gemara increases is about the Lakshan and Shrikhal Gufa, you've handled the problem. Okay. Or you have an answer like that. And then comes the third perspective. The third perspective is when we say Rabbi Yehuda is Moda, Rabbi Shimon, we shouldn't, when we say Rabbi Yehuda is Moda, I should say, Hilchos Shabbos, we should just leave out the words to Rabbi Shimon. He's not Moda to Rabbi Shimon at all. He's not saying that what Rabbi Shimon says in Kol HaTorah Kula is applicable on Shabbos. What he's saying is on Shabbos,
there's a concept of lachem machshavas hashra Torah, and that affects even davar she'eino miskaven under certain conditions. But it doesn't mean that it's the equivalent of Rav Shimon and Kol HaTorah Kula. It doesn't even mean that it's the equivalent of Rav Shimon and Yom HaShabbos. And therefore, there could be nafkamina between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, even within Yom HaShabbos. That would be the best way to explain the Gemara in Krisos if you don't have access to the Rav Shimon Tzvi HaLegufa, namely for somebody like the Rambam. Now, how exactly are you going to say that? Probably there are more than one way. Rav Chaim's way is to say that there are two problems related to the Miskavim. One is the problem of awareness, the other problem is that of interest. Rav Chaim assumes that the problem of interest is the problem of Kol HaTorah Kula, the problem of awareness is the problem of Malach Samachshavas HaSav Torah. Then Rav Chaim posits that there's a way to isolate the factor of Malach Samachshavas so that even in Hilchos Shabbos we can see a resurfacing of the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. And that will be in the case of Sikra Isha below Nichalei. Given his analysis, it's a great example of the isolation of one and the other. Because when you have a psikraisha, so there's no longer an issue of idea, but just because you have a psikraisha, if it's still nichalei, there's still the problem of lack of interest. Therefore, the sugya in Krisos is exactly about that, and Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon apply, the Koshkogos apply. But in other cases, where we're talking about classic cases, Rav Shimon and Miskavim, then in Ochanami there is Hodah. As for the language of Tosin Yuma, I don't know. But in Rav Chaim, we do know. Now, of course, in terms of Rav Chaim, so there are several assumptions of Rav Chaim. Number one was that the Rambam holds like Yorah. We'll have to investigate that when we get to the Psikratia part, so hold a second, a little more fully. But the truth is, if you just read Rashi and Bali Tosis, you know, you really might get the impression that the Aruch is like a Shitas Yachid. And again, because we're very much taken with, you know, the worldview, we should be, of Rashi and Tosis. But when you look around at the Rishonim, and Rav Chaim certainly felt this way, the Nitziv felt this way, others felt this way, you know, they basically argue that Rashi and Tosis are the exceptions, not the rule. And that the real predominant view of the Rishonim is the Aruch. And Sarah Chaim Paskin like the Aruch. he believed that the Rambam held like the Aruch, but he also, it's known that Rav Chaim Paskin like the Aruch. Tremendous cooler in Hilchos Shabbos. So did the Nitziv. I mean, the Nitziv in this very long piece that I have here. And, he says, pretty much, he says, like all the Rishonim hold like the, he says, Sod Amoku. And basically what he says is, without saying in so many words, is don't be thrown off by Rashi and Tosis. You know, the broader world of the Rishonim really held like the Aruch, the secretion of Lenichalei is mutter. Except that it's not so simple, but it's a tremendous kula in Hilchos Shabbos. I mean, you know, you just can't imagine how important it is. You know, it's not just, you know, you don't have to worry about your sensors as much. I mean, there are many other things too. Refrigerators and, well, all sorts of other modern and other conveniences. But the first assumption was that the Rambam held that way. Now, whether the Rambam really did hold this way, again, if this is really the view of the Gaonim and the early Rishonim, it's very simple. The truth is that the Rambam himself rarely formulates Psikresha Velo Nichalei, at least not explicitly. When the Gemara formulates Psikresha Velo Nichalei, the Rambam usually has some other way of projecting it. We'll get to this when we get to Psikresha. We'll see a couple of the cases. It doesn't mean, doesn't preclude that he doesn't know like the Aruch, but at least one should raise the question. The second assumption of Rav Chaim is that the Rambam held, like the Bali Tosis, that in the Miskavim is Malach Smach Shevetz on Shabbos. That already we discussed. Certainly don't have to say that. The third assumption of Rav Chaim is that Rav Shimon's Enam Miskavim of Kol HaTorah Kula is about Ratzon, and that the problem of Malach Smach Shevetz is a problem, excuse me, the Malach Smach Shevetz problem is a problem of Yediyah. That's certainly, as Eitan correctly pointed out, that's certainly questionable. It's hard to know why, it's hard to know that Rav Shimon felt that the problem wasn't one of Yediyah, but one of but one of interest. So it's not clear at all. It's not clear. But the truth is that the Chaim's whole approach, anyways, does not fit well with two things. I don't say it's contradicted by it, but it doesn't fit well with two things. This is what I think. Number one, it doesn't fit well with the Rosh's view of the Aruch. What is the Rosh's view of the Aruch? Daniel? The Rosh and Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis?
Peter? Which is the exact opposite of Chaim.
Yeah. Namely, but what does it say? Here's the line. No mind. So again, what does it say? The Aruch's principle, Psikreshi Nichalei Mutar,
is specifically by Kol Torah Kula.
Is specifically by Hilchos Shabbos. It does apply to Kol
Torah Kula. The Hainu Davka L'Inyan Shabbos, the Vainim Lech Machshavos, Al B'Shari Surin Lo Ba'inan De Nichalei.
Even if it's lo nichalei
chayv, you're still chayv by kol torah kula.
Yeah, exactly. In the p'tur of sequential lo nichalei mutar, the heter of the aruch is only in hilchos Shabbos. What did Reb Chaim actually say? The opposite. Right? Reb Chaim basically said that sequential the lo nichalei is going to be the test case. That's going to differentiate Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Because that neutralizes the Melech Machshavas problem, it rids you, in other words, it eradicates the Melech Machshavas problem, and then you go back to Kol Torah Kula. The Rosh's quotation of the Aruch, of course, it's a bit of a problem. We'll see when we get to the evidence in Sikresha. A lot of the Aruch's rayas seem to be from Kol Torah Kula. That's a problem. That's the Rosh's problem. But the point is that in the Svara, right? If what we said was the problem of Melech Machshavas according to Reb Chaim is awareness, yidia, subsequential nichalei neutralizes that. And the Aruch, as the Rosh quotes it, says exactly the opposite. Right? He says that we call it Aruch, it's only a Machshavas. Now the truth is that the direction of the Rosh is the direction of the Netziv's reading of the Shiltos that I mentioned the other day. Right? The Shiltos has this line that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in Kol Torah Kula, the Shabbos of the Sphere like Rabbi Shimon, and the Kol Torah Kula ki Rabbi Yehuda. So when it says big chiddush, I have to read about many pages to get to realize this is what he's saying. The Tziv's big chiddush is Harei the Kari Hashas Psik Reisha the Lamicha Le Davar Shein Miskavim. That's like our point. That Sik Reisha de Lo Nichalei remains a Davar Shein Miskavim. When the Gemara calls something Davar Shein Miskavim, it could still be a case of Sik Reisha de Lo Nichalei. Who basically disagrees with that? Mostly the Bali Tosis. Right. Mostly the Bali Tosis of the opinion that Psik Reisha, even the Lo Nichalei, is a Davar Miskavim. And we'll get back to how to read the Gemara increases in just a minute. Maybe not Tosis and Shabbos Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Certainly Tosis and Yuma, the others. Okay, we'll get to the minute. But for the other Rishonim, again, as I say, he starts off with this whole thing. Bevadei Dvar Matikin Yeshkan Heich Tor Rabbeinu Nosan Bala Aruch Kepsharei Demara Shem Tinoka Shobes Rabban Toim. אבל די פה כי יש רב עושינו הראשונים, הן הן הרבינו, בהג, האורך, ריף, רמב״ם, this is what I meant before. שיטה בזה העניין, מאיר הסיניים, בכמה סוגיוס, ובאשר שנוגע ממש בכל קצבוס השעס, ובכמה הורוס, כל ולהאריך ולבין בעזרו, על יסבר שמו. You get the... Basically what he's saying is, without saying so many words, don't be misled by the Bali Tosis and Rashi. They dominate our worldview, but sometimes they blind us to the consensus. In his view, like Reb Chaim, the real consensus is like the, that's what he goes on to explain, the Issa B'Kri, the first thing he starts with is Issa B'Kri, Sistav Chav. That Gemara is the linchpin.
Why? Because if you learn conceptually, that Gemara has to be the linchpin. Because the Gemara calls Eino Miskaven, and it just can't be the normal case. Right? So it's got to be either like a balitosis, or you've got to say that Psikresha, the Malichale, is Eino Miskaven. It turns out the Gemara says that, according to this reading of the Gemara in Priestess. Okay. And then he says, Hare, the Kari Hashal Psikresha, Malichale, Dom Shein Miskaven. So then he explains, I'm skipping a page. He seems the Rishonim all hold that way. The Nitzroch Arbeinu Lahalos, the Mikol Mokom, the Cholo Isurin, Kaimalon Kir, Rabbi Yehuda, the Dabar Shenim Eskabin, Pirsh B'Psikration Olonikale. In other words, Aval Oidin Bar, the Bedar Shen of Iskavin below Psikresha, Stamker of Shimonaki Lubishari Surin, Shimaki Bahid of Okrik Sus, Kim Bilhav of Psikresha Mutter, of Psikresha, Rodichale, Los Sassim Kamasa, Bikalai, and Begamin Aloha Kamoso. So basically, that it's Sid's reading of the Shiotos is identical with the Rosh's qualification of the Aruch, which is that Psikresha, Dolo, Nichale, Mutter is a din in Yoko Shabbos and not a din in Kalat Aruch. Just that for the Shultos, it's perfectly clear, and maybe it's true in the Rosh and the Aruch too. I don't know if the Rosh is saying that the Aruch holds that way, or the Rosh is saying that we've passed it like the Aruch with regard to Shabbos and not with regard to Kol Torah Kula. Then it would be exactly what the Nitziv is saying is the Pshat and the Shultos. Because the Shultos didn't say anything about Psikresh Lo Nichalei. It's the extrapolation that the Nitziv just says, well, this just can't be. Tosafos on Kuf Yud Amud Beis rejects the Shultos based on so many Gemaras. The answer is, it can't be, even be it. What he meant was, Psikresha de lo nichale is double shen miskaven. So basically, the Sheultos, as read by the Nitziv, is like the Rosh's distinction for the Aruch. Both of them are against Rav Chaim's idea that Psikresha de lo nichale, dafka, right, neutralizes Malachas Machshavas. They're saying Psikresha de lo nichale only exists as a factor in Malachas Machshavas. In other words, for the Rosh, for the Nitziv, and so on, what you have to say is that Yedia is not the issue of Malachas Machshavas, Asur Torah, but what is? Ratzon. Exactly the opposite of Rokai. However, to justify Reb Chaim a little bit, I should note, Akiva, who does Reb Chaim have on his side, possibly? correct.
Say that the that Yedia is what?
Well, I don't know about, I mean, but that's already the detail. But in this direction.
Well, yeah.
Correct. I knew he'd say the right thing. In what's, in what way? Why? By now everybody should have seen that Rabia. What's the thrust of the Rabia? Shlomo. Didn't see the Rabia? Ellie, saw the Rabia? Either Ellie? No? See? Very interesting Rabia. I already quoted a few lines from it. And the
Chayisah? Yeah, he says that. I think
it's the Chayisah. Yeah, he starts off. He basically has two opposite extremes in presenting Dom Shein of Iskab. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Okay. He makes reference to the idea of Sapphic.
What we said, what we mentioned the other day.
At the same time,
I don't think he believes in that. I think it's more. I took that formulation out of context because he doesn't.
At the same time, he talks about.
No, I'll explain what I mean by that.
Okay. He talks about Kavana a lot in terms of.
Okay.
And
how does he start off? He basically has two presentations of Dovah Shein Miskaven. Whenever you have an essay, it's always, you know, it's always particularly fascinating. You know, people, when Rishonim write essays. This is the Rav Yoh, starting off with the Shabbos, you know, saying, you know, how do I start with the Shabbos? You know? With Tautzah, the Malacha Grua? You have to start with the klalim. So he starts off with the klalim. Gam shen miskaving, tik resha, lach shen tzvicha l'gufa, the kalma. Right? So, and but these are essays. So he's presenting. So he starts off with a presentation of the machlokas from Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi, doing what we're trying to do, basically, or we're doing what he's, we're trying to do what he did, and what others did. Let's make sense. It's all over Shas. Let's try to understand what's going on. What is the scope and nature of this machlokas, and how does it fit into certain things? Very hard topic. Okay, so he starts off with one extreme. And then he ends up saying a remarkable kind of a thing, but no longer so remarkable in light of the work that we've done. So the first thrust is, Machlokas Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Right? And we kind of take it from there. What is it? What is the nature of that Machlokas?
So it's
excellent. It's simply a derivative. It starts off with the opposite of extreme of everything, the most diluted. Right? Read the beginning for a second. So number one, this is the first thrust. First thrust is the real debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is in a case of Safek. Right? It's not a case of Sikresha. The classic argument is a case of Safek. Again, the fact that he calls it Safek could just mean the contrast of Sikresha. Right. Or again, in light of the line that he mentions later on, which I focused on, which again I don't think he believes is the issue, but I think it's an interesting formulation that he's struggling with things and it comes out. What I meant by that was I don't think that he holds that the argument is one of Safek. But I think that that in the course of his presentation that he formulates it this way, it means that it ran through his mind that could be an understanding of the Machlokas. I was trying to rehabilitate it for others, especially for those who say that this is something that is asur, but it doesn't bring you a kata. So this is something that is asur in the big things, but it's not as much asur in the little things. I mean, this idea that you call it suffix, not just to contrast with psik ratio, but you have the right to do this? Isn't it a suffix? So it's an interesting question. At minimum, it's a food for thought kind of formulation, and at maximum, it means that he was weighing it as he's going through things, even though he himself is not projecting. That's what I mean. Okay. In any case, so he starts off by saying, what is Darshan Miskabein? It's not Psikresha. It's Safek. That's the definition. If you had a Vada, a Psikresha, it wouldn't be Eina Miskabein. Correct? But more than that, then it goes even further than that, namely, what you said before. The Hilkach Shari Rav Shimon, the Rav Yehuda Asur, Shari Miasa Charitz Chayet Chatas, the Azru Kamei Shabah Ba'Atalia. So the first presentation in the Rav Yah is number one, Dov Shein Miskavein is not about Sikresha, and number two, it is a derivative argument of the Machlokas Malach Shein Tzvi Chalikufa, but derivative in that direction, meaning. Really, the debate about Eina Miskavein is driven by the debate of Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. But he doesn't mean it in a conceptual way at all. What he means is, Elikai?
Every Davar Shein Miskavein is also Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa.
Or at least in most cases it is, in which case the Daraisa sting is removed for Rabbi Yehuda before you even begin to discuss the topic. Right? In other words, if every Davar Shein Miskavein is going to be also a case, an overlapping case of Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, which according to Rabbi Shimon is Patur, so the only thing at stake is the Drabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, holding Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is Chayev, so at stake is the Daraisa. So let's say the Mechayev was Safek. or maybe it was Betoris Vaday or Sopek Betoris Vaday. But is it Sopek Daraisa, let's say, or Sopek Drabana? So the answer to the first presentation of the Rav Yah in the name of some of the Rishonim is the Machlokas here isn't the Machlokas in its own right. That's a big, big Kiddush.
Right? That's one of the things we still have to talk about. We'll have to finish this up tomorrow.
But right, one could have said the Machlokas of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, but Shimon and Skavin, Lakshin, Tikkun, Tufar, just coincidental, have nothing to do with each other at all. Depends how you read the Gemara. He's saying at this point, not only does it have to do with each other, not only is there a conceptual link between them, oh, the role of Kavana, the role of Kavana, it's more than that, it's a practical point. And everything, it's not common denominator. Everything in the direction of Ein Tzri Halagufa. At stakes here are Drabanan or stakes here are Daraisa? At stakes here are Drabanan, Ein Beskavin Mutter. At stakes here are Daraisa, Ein Beskavin Asa. That's the first view of the Rav Yah. Very, very important. True?
So when he says he's Surah Mizik, he's got that, since it's Drabanan there.
Yeah. So this is Rabban, let's Osir. Then he says, but if that's the case, right, then what?
So, behind the Amrina of the Kamadav, the Moser Rabbi Shimon, the Tigresha of Yaman. That's Rina of Tigresha.
It probably should be Amrina, not the Alphabetzer says Amrina, I think, right? Alphabetzer. Amrina of Tigresha, Alphabetzer of the notes in the bottom. A big door Alphabetzer. Victor. The Amrina Psikresha Hainam Lak Shayna Tzrika Legufa. Because that's right, that's Psikresha de Lonicha is Psikresha Lonicha is Lak Shayna Tzrika Legufa. This is Bale Tosis, but it's more than Bale Tosis. It's an extreme Bale Tosis. Right? So the Rav Yah is, again, historically, the Rav Yah is, is exposed to Bale Tosis. But he's still, Germany, so he's also drawing from, from the from earlier traditions. Okay, go ahead.
The
Rabbi Elazar, Rabbanan Pligi. That is a remarkable line, if you ask me. Right? Do you agree? Is that true? If you say something is chayv chatas, does that mean that in parallel b'mezid it has to be chayv misa based on hasra's vaday? I mean, the equation between mezid, taris eskila, and shogeg being chatas. It doesn't carry with it the fact that the case is always a case of hasra'as vada. Hasra'as vada is a technical point, one would think, right? Having to do with the nature of hasra? Maybe not, you see from here. So, anyway, I think it's a remarkable... it's a remarkable assumption. Mid the chira of lazer chatas in came to mezu to b'hasra chayv skila v'lo have asra sape. So it must be talking about a case of psikresha. The psikresha who baru. He's also assuming that that's anything that isn't a psikresha is always a hasra sape. I'm not so sure about that either, but okay.
Even if it's a case of miskavi?
What?
Even if it's a regular case of malach shabbos or a sab psikresha.
Right.
How could you ever have a case of mezu in malach shabbos?
According to what he's saying.
Yeah.
It must be an answer, but it's super strange. Okay. Anyways, then it comes the next page and a half, which you don't have to read. Basically, he's arguing. He's not happy. What does he end up with?
What does he end up with?
Oh, by the way, before we get to that. So, page 227. Go to page 227, a line 3 at the end.
Right. 3 from the end.
Line three from the top. What's he asking? This is like the quote that I
that I cited yesterday. Namely, how do you know that this applies outside of Hilchos Shabbos? Right? Now, if you take the extreme Bali Tosis view that he's quoting, which is that Doshin Miskaben is not only a case of Safek, okay, but that the whole derivative upon the Machlokas and Lakshem Tzricha Legufa. Okay, then what he's saying is certainly true. Then because the whole Lakshem Tzricha Legufa, which is the basis for the argument of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is only Machlokas and Hilchos Shabbos. But the second that you move out of Hilchos Shabbos to call it Torah Kula, there is no Torah Lakshem Tzricha Legufa, in which case it shouldn't be a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon anymore. So his question, if you hold that presentation, however, I don't think that this question is limited to that extreme. I think he's also asking.
I mean, these cases
are not all those cases. Are not all that.
Are different.
Yeah. Right. So I think what he's asking here is, even if you don't go so far, because the first extreme that he presented everything was, you know, my focus is Rabbi Shimon. It just depends on the lachshon and tzricha. But I think what he's asking now as a fallback is, and even if you don't go that far, but you still want to argue that the case of Domeshen and Miskavin that they argue about is Dafka, a case of Suffolk, and not a case of Segresha. But if it's not a case of Segresha, but it is a case of Suffolk, so how can you export beyond Hilchos Shabbos? How can you know to export beyond Hilchos Shabbos? After all, if it's a Suffolk, right, which he thinks is a Suffolk problem, whatever, if it's really a suffix, maybe it shouldn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. Now that becomes an important question. Again, if he had held according to the first extreme, it's an even more powerful question. If he doesn't hold with the first extreme, and in the interim there have been some cases that don't work out so well with that, so then it's not based on that, but then it becomes more important in a way. Oh. We'll see, he gets back to this. Im Amru Gabi Shabbos to Melech Smachshevas Ksiv, I'm skipping 2 lines. So Shar, now this could be another one. Shari Sur Minayim. This is where he gets into the question. Halo Nene Minat Hilayim. A Misasek B'chol Narayos. Where he's invoking Misasek. Okay. So basically, he doesn't like the first presentation. What is the first presentation? That the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon really is only or primarily in a case of no secretion. So what does he like instead, Elikai? What do you mean based on the Lakshen Tzvi Kama Gufa? Based on the Lakshen Tzvi Kama Gufa? Based on Psikresh of Lamichalai. But it's not the Lakshen Tzvi Kama. Elinirali, the Nakid High Klala Biyadeh. Psikresh of Lamichalai b'malafta v'lamachmas so v'lamachmas dobracher. Very important formulation. She'itachen she'yaseh chetzo below Hamalacha, Mutal Rab Shimon the Kaimalon Kavasai, not Patra Velasa. What's he saying here? See, you saw it? What is this? The Aruch! The Rav Yah is invoking the Aruch, not surprising, or the Ashkenaz. Yafil, I'm skipping. Yafil, I'm on the Muki Pluk to the Garan, the Migdolin, the Karle, Epsha, the Kamakam, Epsha, the Siyor Hadero. Trying to show it's all, even if you gain some benefit from it. But you could have done it in other ways. That's still called psikresha deloni. He needs to expand psikresha deloni chalei, the cases of deloni chalei. It can't be that he's not happy with what he gets. It has to be that he didn't need this to get it. That's also part of the mechanism here. Inami shiitein beged tachtav shalo yaseh charitz. Alo efshar belota or gadol lekach shor rabban avgad the psikresha. Ein zem lechas makshevas. What's he saying? If it's psik resha, then there's no chisaron of malachas machshevas. Umaskana v'ktanim pligi gavagav de'esher b'torach katan shori lachnis atzmo l'safek. That's the line that I quoted again. I just think that shows a mentality. It's not his view, but it's the kolshkei begadol. I feel in psik resha tzvei shori. The Choshu Latarko, Kibin Shein Miskabin, the Chalitz Efshal Asis Ritzon of Alogera. The Chain Gadi goes on the Miskarayim, Efshal Rintol Kilacha Yad, and so on. U Kemosh of Sikresha, Huter Bihiyan Gavna, Alpha Gav the Dami, the Malachis Machshevas, also the Shabbos, Shein Malachis Machshevas, Brian Serif, the Malachim Miskabin,
Mizu asvara matir nami Rav Shimon b'chol ha'isurim. Shaharei le'inyan psik reisha kulam shavim. V'daf v'kod sheyesh ha'pacha sheni miskavim b'munafei nami le'isur ha'kar nikra sheni miskavim. V'chol eilu l'Rav Yehuda asur ableinu chayev chatas. Basically, what the Rabbiya ends up saying is half like the Nitziv and half opposite of the Nitziv in the Shofas. Basically, what he's saying is the following. The Bali Tosas said that the debate between Darshan and Miskabin is really a derivative of the Lakshan Nitziv and Gufa. Fine. And therefore, if you take that extreme, basically the whole argument is nothing. There's no point even wasting so much time on it. You might as well just go straight to Inyan Gimel. You know, Malach Shein Tzvicha Legufa, basically. It depends what the stakes are. That's what dictates whether we care or don't care about Dorosh Shein Tzvicha. That's one extreme. And even if you don't go that far, this part he doesn't say, this part I'm interpolating. And even if you don't go that far, at minimum, the point is that the debate is a debate about Sapeg, Maisa, in a case where there's no psik reisha. But if that were to be true, says Rabia, I'm really, really bothered by how we ever get this outside of Hilchos Shabbos. Why shouldn't we say that this is limited to Hilchos Shabbos? So again, if it's based on Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, it has to be limited to Hilchos Shabbos, the Ptura. And even if it isn't actually derivative of the Machlokes Malach Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, right? But the fact is, again, if the point is that we're dealing with a safek, so why not say, how do we know at least, at minimum, how do we know? Why don't we say this like in the Sasek? In Kol Torah Kula, we say Yerchayev, why don't we say here too? That in Kol Torah Kula, Bishlomo Mlech Machsheva, safek, the problem. Right, but are you going to say that? When it comes to Kol Torah Kula? Why not? Basically, the argument of the Rabia is like Rav Chaim. What did Rav Chaim say? What's the problem with Malach Shabbos? Not whether you want it or not, but whether or not you are fully aware that you're going to have it or not. Rav Chaim said, that's a Malach Machshavas problem. That's not called a Torah Kula issue. I'm not sure why that should be so, but that's exactly what the Rav Yoh is arguing also. So what does Rav Yoh end up saying? Therefore, the whole thing is wrong. The real debate between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda isn't about Safek cases at all. What is it? What is it about? Because had it been that, it would have been limited to Shabbos. What is it about? So in a way, he did exactly what the Nitziv did for exactly the opposite reason. What did the Nitziv say? The Nitziv said, the Shiltos says, Makotos Rav Yudin, Rav Shimon, the Paskin like Rav Shimon and Shabbos, the Paskin like Rav Yudin, Kol Torah Kula. He says, about Rav Shimon Diskanen. So the Nitziv says, he doesn't mean that. He means, Psik Reishon Lo Nichalei. The Rav Yoh says, the real Machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda isn't the machlokas about Safek. It's the machlokas about segregation of Onichalei. Except that, he says, and therefore, since that's true, so that's not a problem of Malach Smachshana Sosra Torah. What do you mean it's not a problem of Malach Smachshana Sosra Torah? Exactly what Rav Chaim said. If the problem is, I don't know what I'm doing, that's a Malach Smachshana's problem. Keep that in Hilchos Shabbos. But if Sikresha Delo Nichale is the issue of Shem Diskavein, then I always know what I'm doing. The only problem is I'm not interested in what I'm doing. Not interested in what you're doing. That's the problem of Kol Torah Kula. This is the answer to the Rav Yoh's question. Rav Yoh says, if the Bali Tosis were right, even in the more moderate side of it, right, then everything should have been focused on Hilchos Shabbos. But since I'm right, I who say that the real machlokas of Dom Shem Miskavim is Psik Reishon Lo Nichalei, therefore we understand why this is a din in Kol Torah Kula. That's the opposite of the Nitziv and the Rosh in the Aruch, exactly like Reb Chaim. But it just really aligns perfectly with Reb Chaim. Meaning, because secretion lo nichale is the issue, therefore it applies to Kol Torah Kula, not therefore it only applies to Hilchos Shabbos. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't so clear when I was reading it, but I think some minds are mindful of that the problem with secretion to lo nichale is also lacking in Hilchos Shabbos.
You know, it's very badly written in some parts. In some parts it's badly written, but if you take the whole thrust of it, it's perfectly clear that that's the whole contrast that he's, that's what motivates the Shita. And sometimes he says it clearly, and he also, the optivists are helpful in some of the...
At the very end, especially. That's
the optivists.
I don't know, I'm just saying, very especially with
Mashma,
that it is a problem with
Mashma. Well, no, he's saying it is, it's, when he means Mashma Shabbos, the dummy of the Mashma Shabbos. Kemosh psik reisha hukah b'chiyai gavna, apagav the dummy of the Mashma Shabbos, also Torah, she'ena melechas Mashabbos. Those are the hard lines. Yeah, optivists who does something with those. Aval be'emes eina, he changes it. Yeah. Eina, meaning it's not a chisaron of melechus. So the trick in the Ravya is, you're 100% right, it's a problem reading it. That's nothing to do with my interpretation or that interpretation. There's just an objective problem reading the lines of melechus machshavas here. But if you keep your eye on the ball, meaning, if you realize that the reason that he's, the strongest objection he has to the Balitosis presentation is that he thinks that it should have just been limited to Melechus Machshavas and Hilchos Shabbos, as opposed to what he's proposing, then you realize you have to, and you also realize there are some lines that are almost simply contradict each other. Well, the reason that there is, it's a formulation problem. Meaning, when you say something is or isn't Melechus Machshavas, you mean it's a problem of Melechus Machshavas, or you mean it is Melechus Machshavas and it's not a problem of Melechus Machshavas. You understand what I mean? That's the problem, and that's why Optivitzer tries to, make some suggestions. But either way, if you keep your eye on the argument, the eye on the argument, and of course the whole argument here is that it's a Kol Torah Kula din, and that's what the advantage is. That's what you gain from all of this. Okay, but the point is that if you didn't realize the Netziv Reb Chaim, you can read the Rav Yoh without it. But once you realize the whole framework, it takes on a much more, it assumes a much greater significance. To sum up, basically, we have the question about the relationship between Psik Reisha de Lo Nichale and Dovr Shein and Miskave. It's a question in Hilchos Psik Reisha. We didn't analyze that side of it yet. right now we're just analyzing it from the perspective of Dovr Shein, from Dovr Shein and Miskave. Clearly, there's a huge machlokas on Rishonim whether or not Dovr Shein and Miskave continues to exist in a state of Psik Reisha de Lo Nichale. I should add that most of Rishonim seem to, and Achronim, weigh in on this question, do so both for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But they assume that the answer is a uniform answer. You know, either Psik Reisha de Lo Nichale retains the status of Dovr Shein and Miskave, in which case it retains it for Rabbi Yehuda as well, or it does not, and it doesn't for Rabbi Shimon as well. In theory, in light of what I mentioned towards the end of yesterday's shiur, which we still have to elaborate a little more on, which is that maybe the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon isn't just about a certain case or a certain issue, but it relates more broadly to the way that you define ma'aseh and the role of Kavanah in Maisin. In which case, in theory, there also could have been middle Shita, which would have said that whether or not Psik Reisha can still be Dovr Shein Miskavein, that Gufa depends on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That even though both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that Psik Reisha could be Chayiv, number one, it's not clear that they agree that it's Chayiv on the same level. And number two, it's not clear whether they agree that Psik Reisha, they agree on the question whether Psik Reisha turns an Einam Miskavein into a Miskavein or not. That Gufa could be part of the debate between them. Tosfos Reed and Yuma on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says that whether or not you consider it Einam Miskavein depends on Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda.
He says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Psik Reisha is Chayiv with Yiraisa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, Psik Reisha is only also with Rabbanan.
Okay, why is that?
he
I mean, in general, Vapsigresha. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Tosafot says that in Yuma, and Shidur Rebetzin says that in Hazadeh Batem Ksubas too. In the chorus that I gave you. Absolutely. That's another example. That's not exactly the example that I just gave. But it's another one of the examples where other factors, not just the case of Dov Shein Miskaven itself, is affected by the debate between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Right. Yeah. But what the Tosafot Rebbe says in Yuma is, as I say, also said by the by one of the days you go back to saying Ksuvas, Rav Sigresha, being Drabanan for Rav Shimon and being Daraisa for Rav Yehuda. Yeah. Okay. So basically, in the question itself, whether or not Dov Shein Miskaven still exists in Sigresha to Lonichale. So that's a huge machlokas of Rishonim, and it could have been dependent upon Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon itself. In addition to that, there's the question of you know, relationship between Kol Torah Kula and the Shabbos, and especially the factor of Melechas Hashemes. So basically, what I'm trying to show is that according to Rabbi Chaim, Tikra Yishuda Lo Nichalei affects the Melechas Machshavas, but doesn't affect the doesn't affect the Kol Torah Kula. Sigreshul Michalei, I'm sorry, eliminates the problem of Melechas Machshavas, and what remains is the problem of Kavana, Rotzon, and that is a problem of Kol Torah Kula. That essentially is also the view that the Rav Yah is projecting. Rav Yah says the debate between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is primarily in the case of Sigreshul Michalei, and that's the reason why it is a universal argument, Bein B'Hilchos Shabbos, Bein B'Kol Torah Kula, because since it's psikreshet lo nichalei, it extricates itself from the issue of malachas machshavas. It is a malachas machshavas. Textual problems aside, but that's really the thrust. On the other hand, had it been the problem of safek, meaning lack of yediyah, then says the Rav Yah, it would have been limited to Hilchos Shabbos. It shouldn't apply to Kol Torah Kula. Now, the Rishonim who disagree with the Rav Yah, the Bali Tosis, obviously think he's wrong. You know, number one, they may think that Psikreshu de Lomichalei is not the Enum Biskavin at all. Number two, they may say what the Nitziv says for the Shilt is what the Rosh says for the Aruch, which is exactly the opposite of what Rav Chaim and the Rav Yah say, which is that Psikreshu de Lomichalei Mutter is Dafka more of a function of Melechas Machshavas also Torah. And on the contrary, the Safek question is more a question of Kol Torah Kula. You have a huge opposite debate on this point. But just in terms of perspective, just a little bit, we studied Misaseks, so we discussed the fact that Bali Tosis believes that there are two types of Misaseks. Right, there's the Misasek of Kol Torah Kula, which is Miskaven Lachtoch Es HaTolosh B'Chotach HaSamachubar. And then there is the Misasek of Hilchos Shabbos, Melechas Machshavas Lasu Torah, Miskaven Lachtoch Mechubar Zeh B'Chotach Mechubar Acher. So again, just this is not proof positive of anything, because the cases are a little bit different. They don't really align perfectly. But in terms of the general thrust of things, I just think it's interesting, again, that Rav Chaim is out of step with that general view of Tosis. Meaning, for Tosis, again, like we said when we were in that room then, which is a bigger Maisa problem in this Asek? Which seems to be a more fundamental problem? Miskaven lachtoch mechubar talush v'chatach asa mechubar, or miskaven lachtoch mechubar ze v'chatach mechubar acher, which is a bigger yontan, which is a bigger maisa problem? What do you think? Rabbi Kiva Eger aside at the moment, because ends up being for different reasons. This is on the objective merit of the flaw. Is a bigger flaw or a lesser flaw?
Bigger.
Yeah? Okay, so you're okay with do you would have said that? It's a bigger mistake?
I would say that, but I guess you would disagree.
I guess, you know, it depends on, and it's really a very basic philosophical question. It has to do really with your outlook on the world. basically, as the way I'm looking at it, is the discrepancy in terms of the legal actions is of course greater in the discrepancy between Talish and Mechubar. Right? The halakhic legal action. In one case, you're trying to do an act of Okadavar Megidulo. And in the other case, you're trying to do not only a Edzbar Hefter, be a completely different action, because as far as you're concerned, the object has already been pulled from the, you know, from the state of Mechubar. You can make it sharper if you want, according to, you know, Rashi versus Tosis, the whole business. Niskaven, how does it go? Lahadbia as asakin, the chotach as a Mechubar. If you want to make it even more radical, right? You're looking at it in terms of olam hashavto. Did the guy forget about what he did, the token of what he did? Right? If you focus on the token of what he did, you'll agree that there's a greater discrepancy between a person who thinks that he's doing, that he's just picking up a knife, and a person who ends up doing a maisa katsira. Certainly a much greater discrepancy than doing one katsira or another katsira over two objects, one of which you prefer to have more than the other. Right? So that's why I said it's a philosophical question, I guess. In terms of getting your way, there's greater disappointment, I guess. There's greater personal disappointment in Lo Olamat Shaka. And there's greater physical discrepancy in the legal action that you're doing in the other case. In any case, which was the Malachas Machshavas Asur Torah, which was the Kol HaTorah Kula? So the Kol HaTorah Kula is the discrepancy in identifying the action that you're doing. Right? And the Kol Shabbos was all about Shabbos. Is that happy? I'm just saying, now put that together with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim had the same choice in a way. And what we're trying to show is that it ends up being the Rav Yah versus the Rosh's Aruch, or Reb Chaim versus the Netziv in a way, in terms of mentality. Right? In a sense, there are two elements of every classic in the Miskavim. One is, I don't know what I'm doing. There may be discrepancy between what I'm doing and what gets done. That's one issue. Now there's another question, that is, how interested am I in doing it? It's not exactly the same, right, as disappointment or mistakes in this case. Here we're talking about something which is anticipatable, but isn't something. All I'm saying is, in the thrust of things, Tosis's Malachas Machshavas, Reb Chaim's Malachas Machshavas, as opposed to his Kol HaTorah Kula, do not align in the way that I would have expected with the Bali Tosis's, which is perfectly fine. I have no problem with it. And on the contrary, I think the whole thrust of Reb Chaim is dafka not true for the Bali Tosis. Bapsik Reishol Nichalei, and so on and so forth. It's said in the Rambam, or those who hold like the Aruch, and that may be relevant to other things as well. We noted when we learned the Sasek that according to the Ramban and Rimigash and others, even if there are two dinim of Kol HaTorah Kula and Hilchos Shabbos, they indeed may be broken up differently than the way Bali Tosis did. But the point, at least, is that on a the Misasek of Kol HaTorah Kula seems in Bali Tosis like it's a much bigger flaw, discrepancy, than the Malachas Machshavas. And in Reb Chaim, it ends up being exactly the more basic issue, which is whether I know what I'm doing. That ends up being Malachas Machshavas. The more self-interested question: do you want or do you not want it? Ala Machshavto, lo ala Machshavto. That ends up being the Kol HaTorah Kula question. That's just a ha'ara. It's not a stira. It's a ha'ara. At the same time, just one more second. At the same time, what we were bothered with the Bali Tosis a little bit before we explained it. We were bothered with Rabbi Kivager's application of the Bali Tosis. Rabbi Kivager ended up explaining that the Kol HaTorah Kula Nisaseh is just a problem of Katas, right? The Ilu, the Malachas Machshavas problem of Nisaseh, that is subject to also the halacha of Kamlei, no Kamlei Bidravamine. There's a Hafkos Maisa, they were complete. It's like you didn't do anything. You said at the time, isn't that strange? Right, the one which, according to me at least, again, according to Yonatan, it's not a strange thing, but according to me, that the greater discrepancy in terms of the action, the objective operation here, is actually on the Kalatara Kula side. So wouldn't one think that that would be the one that would be Mufka Mina Maisa? The Elo, the other one, said, you didn't get what he wanted. So we explained at the time was that very well may make sense, except that you have to compensate with one very, very, very critical issue. Namely, Ari? Exactly. Even if the focus of the Melech Machsheves is actually narrower than the Kolatora Kula, the fact is that the Melech Machsheves ends up being a standard for the Maisa in Shabbos. Not just to come up with that, two questions. One is, objectively, which flaw is a greater flaw? You know, if you're just measuring them as flaws, as cases, as descriptions, that's one question. As far as that's concerned, there's a strange irony here. But there's another question, and that is, when you're trying to figure out what the nature of a flaw is, you also have to consider the criteria. And in the Shabbos, criteria for Maisim are held to a higher standard, which may mean that the definition of a Maisa is more vulnerable. So it could end up that a lesser factor ends up having greater impact. But the point is, from Rav Chaim's point of view, you know, if he were to say something similar, we wouldn't have had this problem to begin with. In a way, his Hilchos Shabbos, his Melech Machsheves, Osro Torah, happens to be much more fundamental also than is called Torah Kula, for what it's worth. Okay. Here's a question.
It was a question, right? Who would ask? Who's about to ask?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if the general debate, whether Melech Machsheves is dependent on awareness or interest, Is that a broader issue?
But the problem is, it might. We have to. Well, let's hold it in abeyance, because it depends on the other issue that I've mentioned a couple of times already, which is there such a thing as Melech's Machsheves, or is Melech's Machsheves just a catchphrase for Shabbos having different standards and it meaning different things for different people, or different things even for the same people but in different contexts? In other words, Mlach Shen Ezrich Lagufa, Mekalkel, Misasek, Kilach Hayad, Dav Shen Miskavin on Shabbos. When you put them all together, we'll try to do that when we finish these topics. But we may find that Misvara, I would have thought that there should have been. And then really, I'm making this comparison of Balei Tosis' mentality on Misasek and Reb Chaim's mentality on Psik Reishit Lo Nichale, Dav Shen Miskavin. I'm doing it, you know, with an eye towards, you know, making this one topic. But having said that, as I mentioned before, you know, there are people who don't believe in Misasik and believe in the others. There are people who think that Chalom Barayos doesn't require Melech's Machsheves of certain types, but not others. It becomes more flexible or more difficult to pin down. That's a good question. Okay. What remains to be done, we're going to stop here in just one more second. Let me just see what we did. Just one second. Okay. What remains to be done is the connection now to Melach Shein and Tzricha Legufa. So that, we'll pick up at that tomorrow. It starts with the Gemaras on Mem Beis Amud Aleph and the Gemara, parallel Gemara in Zvachim. How do the Rishonim understand that? And really, the issue has to be dealt with on three levels. One level is simply what technically is the difference between Eidim Eskavin and Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa. They seem to overlap a lot. What is the criterion? But it's not enough to know the criterion. Then, of course, the question is to apply it to specific controversial cases, things like Bapis Mursa and Sad Nachash, and which are they? That's one issue. The second issue is whether indeed there isn't a conceptual link between Ein Tzricha Legufa and Hilchos Shabbos and Ein Miskavein in Kol Torah Kula. Namely, how seriously did you take the line of the Gemara The Mem Beis Amud Aleph and Rizvach and Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara thought that there was a link. But of course, that also depends on the Bali Tosas issue, namely the reading of the Gemara in Krisus, an Ein Tzrich LeGufa case, as an Ein Miskaven case. But this is a technical question. The more we see Ein Miskaven in Kabbalah terms and in broader terms, the more likely there should be a connection between the two debates between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So look at that tomorrow and the other Makaros that I gave you, and then and then we'll move on to Psik Reishis.